you are recording, but we'll wait till council comes back.
All right, we are back in open session. And we are discussing case 21-123, continuance of an informal interview of 2017. Dr. Wright, you were leading the discussion, but I want to throw this out there. So we're talking about a consent agreement. What if we did a consent agreement with a practice monitor to be named within 30 days? Mm-hmm. Proposed for the board to approve within 30 days and 90 days to identify someone who would help you. I don't know where this went. 90 days to identify an exit plan and time frame for that exit, for the exit to occur.
I don't know how you said that or not.
I'm sorry.
Is that something we can ask?
Yes, what I'm hearing is to have a practice monitor in place while he winds down his practice and he needs to submit, you know, a wind down
plan.
But that you want it to be, in essence, chaperone.
Now, is there...
And if not signed, then 15 days remain until fall.
Yeah, I think that's good. Now, the wind down plan, is there like you need to wind down in the next year or over the next 5 years? Or
I want to hear the plan.
Leave it alone.
Hey, we got the practice monitor.
Yeah, I think that's the minimum. Now, do we want to also attach on any civil penalties or?
I think we see education or is it still civil or just beyond? I want to concentrate on.
Yeah.
Practice monitor and the exit.
Yeah, I think I'm going 15 days to sign it. Yeah.
15 days to sign it, or it moves to a formal.
Did we want to further develop what the expectations of the practice monitor are?
So the practice monitor needs to be looking at the actual cases. I think random pulling of multiple records. I don't know how many cases in a day he sees, but I mean, I don't think 4 or 10 records over a quarter is going to be acceptable. So I mean, we're looking at multiple records, lots of records. I mean, we're not focusing yet on the premise issues that we usually look at. We're looking at, are these cases handled properly? Is there any issues? Are there records done correctly? Or anything there? So I don't know what number on that. If it's
maybe monthly instead of quarterly.
Yes, monthly instead of quarterly. Yeah, I don't know if we want to do like a per day or per week, how many cases we look at. But I mean, I could see between 20 and 30 cases a day. So I mean, how many of do we look at?
Generally speaking, it's not uncommon when we impose a practice monitor to have the practice monitor go in, do an audit of the practice, and then come up with a plan that he presents back to, he or she will present back to the board for your review and approval to make sure that it covers the areas that you would like it to.
And then we would want that report probably within 30 days of having the practice monitor, give them a month to do it. So we would put that in the consent agreement too.
That's reasonable.
So identify a practice monitor within 15 days, or sign the consent agreement, I'm sorry, within 15 days, but identify a practice monitor, give that practice monitor 30 days to submit a suggested report to us on how to proceed and what they think they need to be looking at, on the report. What was the 90 days thing again, I'm sorry?
Identify an exit strategy.
And submit an exit strategy timeline within 90 days.
Mark, is it important for them to flesh out more the exit plan? He could just submit an exit plan and say, I'm going to do it, and he never does.
One of the reasons why I think we can kind of come up with that is by putting in a period of probation. Mm-hmm. You know, how long is this probation? motivation going to be? And perhaps by indicating that length of time, he may come back with a wind-down plan that is congruent with that timeframe that you had set.
Well, I would say, I mean, our renewal cycle is next December, so I mean, I wouldn't want to extend it beyond that.
1 year probation?
Yeah.
1 year to wind down his practice.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question on the purpose of the practice monitor. Since we have 20 years worth of continuing education over and over and over and over and over again with this particular veterinarian, how do we think that the practice monitor will be more effective than that?
Well, it's going to be, again, Dr. Thompson had said, is there potential issues that haven't been reported to us? Those are more likely to be found with the practice monitor and those kinds of things. So because we're going to be actually auditing things, just like the IRS, when they audit you, they're going to find out that you didn't pay taxes on this, but they're going to know otherwise that how they look. So the practice monitor will be looking and actually auditing and seeing what's going on. And when they see concerns, they bring it to us and look, we've got 47 cases here, major concerns. That's again more evidence of where we need to go and what potentially could be the cases.
To then proceed to reform?
Or open new cases based on this information.
And I think, you know, we can certainly, when we come up with the language with respect to the practice monitor, that emphasis is on the issues that, you know, are set forth in the consent agreement, you know, as well as his disciplinary record with the board.
Right, so did you write all that down so you make a motion?
Yeah, pretty much. All right, so I'll make a motion that we offer a consent agreement to be signed within 15 days or amended to a form. The consent agreement will tell us to identify a practice monitor within that 15 days and give that practice monitor 30 days from the point of board approval to submit a plan to us for monitoring of that hospital. That makes sense. We also would like within 90 days to have a exit strategy submitted. I don't want to say preferably. Identifying.
So there's a wind down plan that will.
Can we say that not extend past the next renewal cycle or this renewal cycle?
Not extend past the 1 year probation.
December 31st to 22.
Yeah, so an exit strategy identifying an exit prior to December 31st, prior to or on December 31st, 2022. And I have not signed within 15 days.
The probationary period.
Oh, probationary period.
Extends to December 31st.
Can we do a probationary specific day or if you just set a year or 6 months or whatever?
You wouldn't do it. You could do a day, but you typically wouldn't because it's typically a year from the date the order becomes effective.
Which would be into the next renewal cycle. Or maybe not, because we're December. So we just say a year.
You know, but again, if he winds down within that time frame, the consent agreement concludes.
Yeah. Or should we do a year and a half? That way it does incorporate the full.
Makes it longer. A year.
Okay, just a year. Because that'll be before December 31st, though. So, is that okay legally? To have two different dates, basically, a probation?
It could be two different dates.
Okay, cool. And then I'll do that out of here then.
All right, motion on the floor in a second. Thanks for not making me bet. Is there any further discussion?
No.
Seeing none, let's do a roll call.
Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. Jenkins?
Aye.
Mr. Lilly?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye. It's better than nothing.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
And Dr. Rice? Aye. Motion carries.
All right. That concludes that one. And we do have. What?
Sad.
Is there a break you want? Somebody else read it. No break? Just one break? Okay. All right, so for this next one, let us show that James has left the room for a minute. We still have a quorum. And let's go down to, this is section five, number four, board review, discuss take action on a request regarding the clarification of interpretation of ARS 3222-42B pertaining to certified veterinary technician applications, requirements per ARS 41001.02. And the applicant is here, Jordan Earhart, and Ms. Frost, you are the lead.
So I did review not only the college transcripts, but also there were some submitted community college transcripts from Kind of High School. I did look at the comparison chart. There were some not applicable on there, which is not usually something I see, so that was a little bit of a concern. But as far as the degree goes, for the bachelor's in biology, I would agree that education would be equivalent. So I would make a motion to approve, allowing the equivalency per statute.
And I'll second that. And the key, I said the exact same thing. I wrote that there were a lot of NAs this time, but defer to Nikki.
All right, we have motion on the floor and a second to accept the application for the test, right? Is that the board of the red?
To approve.
To approve.
Yeah.
Sitting for the test. I have the same concerns about the, not all of them, because, the office applications, I don't mind that so much. I think some of these are covered by work experience, the veterinary office manages skilled people. Some of the medical nursing, medical mathematics, externship.
Yeah, I imagine
experience
could be work experience.
That could be work experience.
Yeah.
Some of them, like I said, I...
The veterinary specific ones is mostly NAs. It's kind of generalized stuff.
So you count on a lot of work experience for those, and I would defer to our certified technician who has made her opinion known.
You can't consider her experience in this question. It's just her education.
Just the
education. Right, so again, work experience doesn't apply. However, our history and reviewing these degrees with other applicants, when you look at the transcript, definitely, in my opinion, does bridge those gaps that weren't NA. The comparison chart probably caused more harm than help in this situation, but I spent more time looking at the transcript than the comparison chart.
Yeah, the transcript was impressive. I'm a little jealous. All right, motion on the floor is to approve the sitting for the test. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And that motion passes. Did you want to say anything? You won without saying anything.
thank you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for being here today. All right, so let's go back and work our way down the list. Do you have anything else?
You sent your last data.
I'm trying to do that for a while. All right, so next up, we are on section four, number two. 2153 regards to Deborah Chapman, DBN, board review, discuss take action on completion of continuing education as required by the board order and be returned license to active status. That is on supplement number two.
So Dr. Chapman has completed her CE, and I would make a motion to return her license to active status.
Second.
Motion on the floor and a second to return to West Branch status. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And motion passes. Next up. 5, number 1, board may review, discuss, take action on a request for approval of continuing education credit for the American Association of Swine Veterinarians 2022 annual meeting, February 26th through March 1st, 2022.
And this has to be submitted within 90 or before 90 days, right?
60 days,
okay.
Approved before 60 days.
Well, they said this is it. Either way, we're still in that. We're fine. Yeah.
So we're good with that, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought it all looked good.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's a lot of details, right?
Yeah. So I would just go, one thing I thought I saw was in their cover letter. I think the only reason it didn't get approved last year or the year before, whenever the first time they asked was because it didn't get in on time. Mm-hmm. It wasn't because of the content or because they weren't approved by race. It was their timing, not anything else but that. So.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move approval. Item 5-1, and the continuing education credit for the American Association of Swine Veterinarians 2022 annual meeting, February 26th and March 1, 2022.
And do we have to see how many hours we were granting?
I have 24.
Okay, so I'll second that.
And motion on the floor and a second to approve. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion passes. Next up, board may review, discuss, take action on request for approval of continuing education credit for advanced meeting in veterinary homeopathy, February 22 to 26, 2022, and that is in supplement 1. And I think, as always, there's a little trimming to do.
Yeah.
Page at the bottom and supplement 1. So the first brand.
So
epidemics.
Yeah, that was
I think the case reviews are wrong.
Yeah.
Prescription for an alien plant.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of stretching it for an hour, right? For better medicine.
Well, I said, even with the homeopathy and epidemics, their emphasis on the 1918 flu epidemic, which again is historically important and is important on the human side, but is that really pertinent to veterinary medicine? I don't know. Same thing with the.
I think it kind of is.
Understanding the principle of epidemics, again, is it a deal around COVID, which is not pertaining to veterinary medicine or not? So, I can go either way on that. I just wonder, is that more current events or is it actually pertinent to veterinary medicine?
It's not affecting veterinary medicine like it is human health medicine, but the. I'm looking for the right word. The similarities about how it happens.
Yeah, epidemiology.
I mean, it's happening in a different population, but it's a different disease in a different population. But there are a lot of similarities how it moves through and affects, and the way that we are so, it's so much easier to spread things now than it was even 50 years ago, let alone 100 years ago.
Which we talk about that stuff all the time, like USDA, APHIS, certification, it's all veterinary specific as opposed to random human stuff. So, I mean, I get it cool either way, I just want to make sure I brought up that point.
I could go either way on those two epidemic subjects. I think definitely the, which one did I say?
Story of deaths. Cool.
The finding of prescription for breeding plan.
Yeah.
I think that was definitely out. Those other two, you could persuade me to say no. Those don't need to be in there. So it's 3 hours off, just a little.
Yeah, because I'm going to say that the most emphasis is power. Okay, well, but again, yeah, the principles can carry over, so.
Yeah, and it is a flavivirus virus that is related to other viruses that are still out there.
Yeah.
Chronic wasting disease in ungulates.
The Mission Line.
Yeah. Ruminants. So,
I'm not going to be arguing against it, just because nobody else had any strong feelings when we did it.
No, and like I said, it may not have that much to do with the pet companion side. It maybe has more application on the food animal side. But. All right, so we're going to make a motion. You're too slow, so I'm going to. I'll make a motion that we. He's asking for what? 15?
Yeah.
12. I think it's 12. And the three that we discussed are not worthy of Arizona CEs.
Awesome.
All right, motion on the floor and second. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? That motion passes of 12 CEs. Number three, board may review, discuss, take action on premise inspections. That's in supplement one. And Ms. Whitmore is going to walk us through that.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Don conducted our what we call random inspection at Arundel County. She found quite a few numbers of violations. This is a veterinarian who practices alone and is perhaps going to retire very soon, is trying to sell his practice, kind of something similar we've seen before. There weren't any concern terribly about the drug logs. It was just kind of more little bits of things everywhere. So she didn't feel like it rose to a point where there needed to be any action taken other than perhaps just directing board staff to go back and conduct another inspection and see if he's able to keep up with the corrections that he said he's going to make.
Has he submitted his explanation yet or not?
I believe she just got it yesterday.
Okay.
And she's out now, so
that's
why. He cannot be out.
He's in the list here for no?
Yeah, it's third page, hold on. No, one, two, three, fourth page. Number two, random inspection results.
There are dozens of potential violations.
Yeah.
He was supposed to retire about 5 years ago.
So any time, there's overarching laws that says that a person, by law, is allowed to fix things the first time that an agency tells them, with a few exceptions. So he's having the chance to fix them. So we would go back, and that's why if he hasn't fixed them, when we go back, that's when the board could take action.
So I would make a motion, or we should direct board staff. It's a motion or a correction.
Just direct.
Yeah, so I would direct board staff to re-inspect on your schedule. I said, what's appropriate to your schedule? And I would also direct board staff to, of course, read the response to these violations. And if there's any concerns to that, bring those response to us directly.
Okay.
I will give you the leeway to say yes, sounds good.
Okay, sounds good. I'll let Don know.
All right, so that leads us to number five, board may review, discuss, take action on review of investigative case review procedures and board norms such as attendance and review of investigating committee materials.
So I'm going to jump in on that one. Because it seemed like a good timing, because we have two new board members, it was and there have been, over the past few months, some questions have come up just kind of out of our process, so it seemed like a good time to kind of revisit what our processes are, you know, related to the investigative committee process. So I'm just, you have your red notebooks today. So I think for a long time, we didn't always bring everybody one, but these are always good reminders, and Tracy had created all this great information several years ago, and I don't know that any of it or very little has changed. So, you know, we'll continue to have these out for you, as well as I put all these documents on the website for you, just kind of as a refresher. So I thought we would just...
Can I just put in a part of the OneDrive that we see every month? Because it's in this month's meeting.
Yeah. Kind of got that, like, we have the FYI complaint response letters. We put it on the very front page where we actually put the folder to get into this month's stuff. That way it's always currently there. Because right now it's just inside the December folder.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Like so we were on the same page.
Yeah.
Okay. Like the map?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, we can put it down too. Well,
that's a really good map.
So one of the things that questions that have come up a lot is if you look at the page, the initial investigation reviews, and has the little flow chart. Pretty colorful flow chart. So let's kind of just kind of quickly kind of walk through these things, and if there are any questions as we walk through them. So we, as you all know, the IAR is really meant to be kind of a quick review of things, so you could easily dispose of things that can be easily disposed of and figure out if you need to move further to informal or formal. So one of the options, of course, is to dismiss the violation or the letter of concern, which is a non-disciplinary action. Was recently asked, is the letter of concern on the website? It's not by law. There's no information about dismissed cases or letter of concern on the website. So, but if people contact the board office or request a couple of groups, you know, review, then we would provide that. So that's a little nuance about the letter of concern.
Yeah, disciplinary action is never falls off, right? I mean, if there is something from 1963, you can find that information out, or is there a set of limitations, and is there one on other concerns also that's different from them?
So, I've already answered, and I'll have Mark check my answer, but in the last legislative session, there was a law that said board orders can only be on the website for 5 years. We keep them for 25 years. So we would have them for 25 years, the actual order, but there would always be the record of that order. We just wouldn't have the case viable after 25 years. So if the person had a long tenure of licensure and you wanted to know the disciplinary history, based on our database, we could tell you, you know, what I typically tell you. I just wouldn't be able to tell you any more than that if it was more than 25 years old. So it does not really help out, no.
And after 5 years, so anything prior to 2017 is not on the website at this point. So if you had a disciplinary action in 2013.
It is right now because we're in the process of taking it off.
But eventually it does too, okay. And there's nothing that says, hey, you might want to follow up the board, it's not there, but we have a set of plan. Okay.
So yeah, good question, but you can see how that gets confusing.
Yeah.
and the laws change, certainly have changed just in your mind time of what's on the website and what's not. One of the things that you did today is, you know, obviously offer consent agreement. As Mark says, you can at any time offer consent agreement. This is the perfect time to do that. Obviously, that's the time where you feel like you have all the questions answered. You don't think you need any more information, but you know that there's a violation. That's what a consent agreement's for. And And as you discover, if they don't accept it, it would just be moved to an informal or formal, depending on what the board had recommended. And then further, and you all know, but then it also, on the next page, it actually walks through the motions of how to do that consent agreement. The other options at an IAR is, of course, to move it to an informal. Just background, if you don't know or don't remember, is we have to give the person 20 days notice with the written notice. It's a very intricate notice of, and they're allowed to ask for case file materials, you know, that Tracy would provide to them. The complainant's notified as well, and we try to get everyone to participate that way. And in a logistical way, we've always allowed in an informal for people to participate by phone. And in the past year and a half or so, we started to always have court reporters for those informals, because we discovered if the case was an appeal, we really needed to have that transcript. So that's why we have a court reporter for those. And then also, of course, it's rare, but you certainly can move to a formal hearing from an IAR, and that's typically because you know off the bat that you may want to suspend for more than 30 days or revoke. And then you always have the option, which was also discussed today, to table or pen the case to come back later for whatever reason. And then, so the next...
No, I didn't know we could send it back to the ISC.
Yeah, that's interesting.
We should do that next month, because we've never done that before.
Just a thought.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever seen that.
I think it's happened once, years and years ago.
You think they'd like to do it one time?
Do you send it to the same ISC, or would you send it to the other one and get a different opinion?
No, it would go to the same ISC. It would just be based on what you guys, if you felt that you wanted a different representative interview. It's rare that it happened, because you guys would just normally move it to an informal interview and just say, well,
sorry, but it's making the day take
longer. So perfect. So then on the next page, again, it just gives you, kind of walks you through it. Like, if you were new on the board and you were going to apply to offer consent, you could go on this red and book it just read. Kind of takes you through those steps. You just want to, number two, when you're talking about accepting the conclusions of law are the violations, right? And so you want to be sure and specifically state what those are. And as this little prompt tells you, just explain, you know, why you're doing that. That comes into play later down the road if something's appealed, but it also is just, it's helpful to all parties listening to understand what your thought process is on that. Any questions about consent agreements? How to do a mark may have something to offer about anything interesting about consent agreements? Nothing. They're pretty straightforward. Okay. And then you know, obviously our next thing is informal interviews. One thing I wanted to ask about is, at the very bottom of this page for informal interviews, it talks about if a violation is found of ARS 3222-33B3, which is the minor records violation. A long time ago, the board had decided that rather than taking another month to have that order come back and adopt it, that you could, at that meeting where you're finding the violation, adopt the order then. The only thing you can do with that violation is do a civil penalty. So that's just something that's still on the table. So when I had on the agenda board norms, that's what I wanted to just revisit with the board. Is that something you still want to have as an option? Or do you just want us to always be programmed to always take that and come back the next month? Do you like the idea of speeding it up and being able to have that as an option?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll kind of keep that idea of how we do that. We don't, and Mark, tell me if I'm wrong about this, but I believe that any time the board doesn't have to wait a month to come back with the order, but this board typically has, because it gives the staff the time to put the draft order together and review it for possible discrepancies between what the board found and what the evidence was. Maybe the penalties don't match up with the violation, so that gives us that time to point that out and bring it back to the board to do that. So that's why we do what we do, to come back another month.
Now, I get it, as long as it doesn't interfere with audits from over there that says our time's too long or anything, which I don't really have to do anyway. But I just want to make sure it's not putting a new burden on you guys or something like that.
So what Dr. Rick is asking about is the timeframe that the Auditor General's office has, you know, unwillingly decided to put on when a case to be resolved, which is 180 days. I don't know what they consider at the point it to be resolved. I've never seen that, not a lot, I don't know. But we've counted it as from when the board makes its decision.
Okay.
Not necessarily when the board order is issued, so.
Cool.
The good question. And then the next page is just, you know, about board orders. So board orders almost always come out of an informal interview, right? And at that point, almost always at an informal interview, you want to issue an order. You have the right to issue an order. You're telling them, you know, we've already gone through this process, this is what you're going to do. You typically would not offer a consent agreement at an informal, because you don't need to, because you can order them to do it. So I think that's the most simplistic way to explain why you would do one or another.
Yeah, and I know sometimes we struggle when you start to make motions and we begin with consent agreements. Keep in mind, you're here, you can unilaterally impose the order. There are exceptions, you know, to everything. And as we saw earlier this morning, the informal presented an exceptional case and you did something a little bit different. You always have options, and if you ever have any questions what those options are, that's what, you know, Victoria, Tracy, and I are here for.
And I thank you for that. And I was just looking at my notes and wanted to go back to the IARs again to talk about our procedures. As you see, we typically don't ask questions during the IARs. You can, and we try to limit those, and they should be limited probably to ones that you just are your burning questions that you need to be able to make a decision on whether to move to a formal consent. So again, you're trying to, what's that one question that's gonna turn your vote on whether or not you should move it to a formal? And that's, keep in mind that in IAR, people aren't under oath, and they may not be prepared to answer questions because typically they don't.
Yeah, and it's also about consistency. If we did that in every case, our meetings wouldn't get done. And that's why, you know, there's kind of the process that has been developed through the years. It doesn't mean that the process can't be tweaked or re-looked at, but one thing that we're always sensitive to is making sure that we treat the first case with as much, you know, patience and time and thoughtfulness as we do the very last case. And one way that we can best do that is by, you know, making sure that the rules apply to all the cases.
Thank you. So that's all I really want to touch on with the process, but I do have some questions that I think the board would benefit from hearing the answer from Mark from Legal Advice, who may want to move into executive session for that.
I want to make a motion to move into executive session to hear legal advice.
I will second that.
We have a motion for a second to go into executive session. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion passes. We'll go into executive session.